Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Thanks for tuning back into Theory of Pets. I know we took a little break over the summer. It is difficult in my schedule and difficult to find time for experts to interview. Lots of people are doing fun things in the summertime. So we took a little break and now we're back. I think the fall is the perfect time to talk about the topic that I wanted to discuss today, and that is disaster preparedness for your pets. Often when we think about preparing our families for disaster, we think about having a plan for ourselves, our family members, and making sure, you know, like we have bags packed and we have a place to go and we all have the plan and know the plan. All of those same preparations should be taken for our pets, and quite often we don't really think about that. September was Natural Disaster Preparedness Month, so I know I'm a little bit behind, but it got me thinking about preparing for emergencies or natural disasters with your pets. It really depends, first of all, on the region that you live in and the type of disasters that you're going to see. For example, I live in Maine, so we don't get hurricanes or tornadoes, but we do get blizzards and ice storms. There are different ways to prepare for those kind of natural disasters versus how you would prepare for, say, a tornado or a hurricane. So think about the area that you live in. Think about the type of disasters that you want to prepare for. One of the things I'll say that our house is prepared for is long-term power outages. Now, that can happen anywhere, but in the summertime, sometimes we do get the remnants of hurricanes as they come up the East Coast. Hurricanes will hit in Florida or the Carolinas, southern parts of the East Coast, and then they travel up the coast. By the time they get to Maine, we get some really strong winds, which a lot of times will knock out power and do a lot of damage that takes, you know, a couple of days to get our power restored. Same thing in the wintertime. Sometimes we'll have a blizzard, and it's not uncommon in Maine to be without power for 3-4 days, maybe even a week in the wintertime. So especially where, I should also mention that we live in a very rural area of Maine. In the more urban areas, it's not quite as common, but they still will lose power for a day or two. So there's certain things to prepare for when you're going to lose power for an extended period of time and you have a pet. One of those things that comes to mind immediately is water. You need to make sure that you have a way to provide your pets with water during the power outage. And if you have a small dog, just one small dog or one cat, that's not going to mean a whole lot of water. If you live in a house like I do, we currently, we're always taking in fosters and rescues. We currently have 4 dogs and 6 cats in our house right now. So that's a lot of water if you're considering that you could be without power for anywhere from 3 to 4 days to a week. So you need to have preparations in mind for the area that you live in and the type of disasters that you're going to see. You also need to make sure your pet is wearing some type of identification. So it could be an ID tag. Now you can get collars that have the ID information stitched right onto the collar, embroidered onto it. And that's really nice because you never know in an emergency if you're gonna get separated from your pet in some way, if they're gonna run off. You know, there's hustle and bustle in, you know, shelter areas and things like that where pets and people get separated. And you never know what's gonna happen. Is that ID tag going to fall off, get caught on something and rip off? So having it embroidered on the collar is great. An ID tag is also a good option. The best thing that you can do is get your pet microchipped. This isn't something that I just recommend for people who deal with natural disasters. If you live in one of the very few areas that has virtually no extreme weather circumstances, you should still have your pet microchipped. I advocate that all pets should be microchipped. Hundreds of thousands of pets are lost every year. a lot of those pets are returned to their families. Of those pets that are returned to their families, they have identification. They have some way to reunite the dog with the owner. Social media has done great things for reuniting families and pets. And quite often, when you hear about large hurricanes devastating areas, or when we hear about, you know, typhoons, or you know, here in Maine, when there's blizzards, when there's severe cold, people who have lost pets post it on social media, it blows up. A lot of times those pets are reunited, but not always. So having a microchip, ID tags can come off, they can get damaged. Some types of ID tags, the inscription or the writing will wear off after time, so you have to constantly replace them. A microchip is just a small device. It's about the size of a grain of rice, actually, and it's inserted under your pet's skin, and it contains your it has an identification number. So when that microchip is scanned by a shelter or veterinarian, some police stations have scanners now, so that if they find a lost dog or a lost dog is turned into them, they can scan them. When they scan the microchip, it will come up with your identification information. Your ID information can be updated online at any time. So if you move, if your phone number changes, that can all be updated. One of the things I like about microchips is that you can put information in there about your pet. So if you, for example, have a dog, we had a boxer a few years back who had a heart condition. She needed medication throughout the day, or her heart would start beating faster than normal, and it would eventually lead to cardiac arrest. So her medication was an absolute necessity, and I was able to add that information in on our microchip, the type that we had. I got on the website, I added that information. So if she had ever run off and somebody found her, they would be able to see, oh my gosh, this dog needs medication, I need to reunite them immediately. So instead of thinking, oh, okay, I'll bring them over after work, or, you know, maybe they can hang out here for a day and I'll bring them over tomorrow morning, they know that this dog needs to be reunited with its owner immediately, as soon as possible. So I love that about microchips. You can't fit that amount of information on an ID tag. So that's why I usually recommend microchips to everybody, no matter what, but especially if you're trying to prepare for disasters or any kind of emergency that you might have with your pet. And when you think of disasters, speaking of that, I don't want you to just think of like somewhere, you know, like in California, they're having the wildfires right now and people are evacuated from their home. That's certainly a disaster that you need to be prepared for, but there's things like a blizzard, for example, where you're not going to have to evacuate your home, but you may be unable to get to businesses. So you might be able, maybe businesses are closed, or you're not able to drive through the weather. So you're not going to be able to get to a pet store for food. You're going to have enough food to last you for as long as you're expecting to be contained in your home. Like I mentioned, water, things like that. So it's not always an evacuation type disaster, but just any kind of emergency where you're going to need to be prepared in advance with your pet. You also want to double check with your ID. Back to that. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but back to that, you want to make sure that it's always up to date. If you get your dog microchipped, you do have to register the microchip. It has its own ID number, and you'll have to log in and put in that ID number and then link your information to the ID number. So make sure that you do that. Make sure that your dog's ID tags or your microchip information is up to date. It has your current phone number, your current address. Otherwise, there's not going to be an easy way to reach you if your dog is found, and you're going to have to rely on posters around town, social media, that kind of stuff, which, yes, it can work, but it doesn't always work. Vaccinations are another thing that you should be keeping in mind. It reduces the risk of your dog getting sick or contracting a disease in unknown conditions during an emergency. Quite often, dogs run away during an emergency. They're scared, you're scared, a lot is happening. People can, you know, if you're evacuating your home, you're in a strange area and your dog gets lost or wanders away. If you are at home, sometimes it's just the difference. Our dogs do notice. They're a little uneasy when the power goes out. They know that something's changed, but they're not really sure what it is. We start rushing around, lighting candles, getting out our lamps, things like that. So they get a little bit uneasy. If you already have a dog that's kind of edgy or has anxiety issues, that could set them off to run away. And it's not because they're running away from you or they're running away from their safe place, because that's what a lot of people think is, of course they're going to stay with me. I'm who keeps them safe. That's not what they're thinking about right now. It's that fight or flight instinct, and they run and they try and find somewhere where they will feel safe if there's a lot going on. So vaccinations are key. If your dog is lost, if your dog is around other dogs, sometimes if you do have to evacuate your home, you're going to end up in a shelter that allows pets. Not all of them do. So you're going to go to one that allows pets, and there's going to be other pets there. Who knows how everybody's going to get along? Who knows what other dogs are vaccinated or not vaccinated? What kind of diseases they might have, or if one of the dogs in the shelter is going to be sick, something that's contagious. So you need to be sure that your dog is vaccinated. Again, this isn't something that's specific for disaster preparedness. Every dog should be vaccinated for safety purposes, obviously, and to keep your pet healthy. But if your dog isn't vaccinated and you're going through getting prepared for an emergency, that should be top of your list. You should also have a pet emergency kit. Now, I have talked about some of the things that we would need in the conditions that we see at our house, things like extra water during a power outage. Those are things to think about. One of the things, I get our dog food and supplies delivered. We do one of those programs that you get online and order your pet supplies, and it delivers that to your door. So I always make sure, whatever it might be, if it's medications, we have extra. If it's food, we have extra. And we have cats and dogs. So this is something that I do for all of our animals, making sure that we have everything that they'll need. I also always have some Pedialyte. Sometimes, you know, if your dog's not feeling the best, if they're nervous, if they're anxious, if they're stressed, they won't eat and they won't drink. So I always keep some Pedialyte in our emergency kit. And that way, if we have an animal that's stressed and they're not eating, I can at least make sure that I have the Pedialyte and a little syringe in there so I can give them some nutrients, at least a little bit, to get them through until they're feeling a little bit better. If we have time to prepare, for example, like a blizzard in the winter, if we know days in advance that it's coming, I will usually cook up some homemade food or some homemade, like just a little bit of boiled chicken or something like that, in case one of our pets is a little stressed and they're not eating like they normally do. I can have something on hand to give them, to get some nutrients into them while we wait. You also want to make sure that you have an emergency kit as far as first aid. If something happens to your pet, you may not be able to get to the vet. If you're evacuating, your vet's not going to be in their building either. I know here when we have extreme weather, the office will close sometimes. So make sure that you have a pet first aid kit. I have linked under this podcast to our website, Top Dog Tips. We have a great article on the things that you should keep in a pet first aid kit. Everything from gauze, tweezers, a tick remover. You get those little, they kind of look like tweezers, and you can twist them for removing ticks without leaving the head in your pet. That's something to keep on hand. You never know what situation you're going to run into in an emergency. So being prepared, having everything all together in one place is really the easiest way to do it. And trust me, it makes it easier for you. It's going to make it better for your dog. And you're not going to have to worry. You're just going to know that you have what you need in your emergency first aid kit if something small does happen to your dog, if you have a little accident and he needs something for the time being to get through until you can get him to seek veterinary care. I mentioned food, water. You should always have your dog's immunization records. Again, if you end up somewhere, staying somewhere where they require that, that's always a good thing to have on hand just so people know. And your microchip information, your vet information, emergency contact information, all of that stuff are really handy to have. You're not going to have to go around and scrounge and look for it. You're not going to have to, you know, write it down for people or anything like that. It's right there. I have it on a little index card. So it's right on the top of our emergency kit. We have a little bag packed and it's right on the top. So if I need that, there it is. I don't have to look through. we run into times where we've run out of power for long periods of time. Our cell phones die. You can't just get on and Google something and look things up. So it's handy to have that stuff written down. If disaster strikes and you lose your pet, the first thing you're going to want to do, don't endanger yourself looking for your pet. I know that's always our first thing. Say, you know, like a good example is the wildfires in California right now. If you're separated from your dog, you don't want to go into an area that's been evacuated. You don't want to go into an area where the smoke, the smog is so thick that the air is bad to breathe. You don't want to put yourself in danger, in harm's way, to look for your pet. Find a first responder. Find somebody that could help you. Notify them that your pet is missing. Another thing to have, speaking of that, in your emergency kit is a photo of your pet, so that if you have to say, this is my dog, he's missing, you show them the photo and they will help you the best that they can. You do have to be understanding that if an area is unsafe, then they may not be able to go in there either. And they're going to tell you what you can do at the time. Maybe there's a certain area where you can walk and call for your pet or go and look, but they're gonna let you know what you can and can't do and what's safe for you and your pet. Your safety always needs to be your number one concern. I know pets are like family. Trust me, I completely understand that you want to run back and look for your pet, but you need to think about your own safety, the safety of your family as well. You can check sites like Nextdoor, Craigslist, Pet Finder, social media, of course, and visit local shelters. Give them a phone call, send them an email. A lot of most shelters have an email address now. Send them an email, attach your pet's photo, let them know where they were lost, when they were lost, and show the photo. And sometimes they'll reach out and contact you if they happen to find your pet, or you can let them know that your dog is microchipped or your cat is microchipped, and they will notify you if your animal's turned in or if somebody finds your pet. And the other thing I wanted to mention is what you should do if you find a lost pet and you're in an emergency situation. As I mentioned, quite often pets wander off. It's very common, so it is possible that you'll find a lost pet. Approach the animal with caution and care. Check for an ID tag or an embroidered collar first. If you happen to find information, you can obviously contact the phone number, or some people will put their vet's office or things like that on there. So if their phone number is out of date, you can try and contact the vet and see if you can get in touch with the parents. You can also go online if there's no ID, post a description of the dog on those sites that I mentioned, Nextdoor, Craigslist, Pet Finder, social media, and share it around. Ask people to share it. People in the area will help you and you may be able to find the parents that way. If that doesn't work, or while you're waiting to see if that will work, you can take the animal to your local shelter or a veterinarian's office to get them scanned for a microchip. If the pet's chipped and the registry information is up to date, then that will be the quickest way to reunite the dog with their owner or the cat with their owner. If for some reason you're unable to keep the lost animal, find a place where it can go that it's going to be safe. Maybe a friend or neighbor can hang on to it for a couple of days if the local shelters are overrun or they're not open yet. Sometimes vet's office will hang on to a pet for a couple of days. Shelters, of course, if they're not full, will always help. So find a safe place for the animal to go if you can't keep it yourself. And those are my tips for being prepared for a disaster with your pet. If you guys have any questions about it, feel free to email me. Again, I know this is a really busy time for natural disasters. It seems like fall is when they're kind of ramping up, and we're just hearing about everything all around the country, all around the world. They are much more common than they used to be as well. So please feel free to reach out to me, talk to your veterinarian, talk to somebody that works in your local pet store. They can all help you think about it, make a plan for you and your pet. Quite often, if you speak with your local law enforcement agencies, they can tell you the places that open for shelters in your area in an emergency and the ones that are pet friendly. So you can have a plan. You'll know exactly where to go, what to have with you. And if you're going to be staying at home, if you're not evacuating, you'll have your bag packed, you'll have your kit ready, and you guys will be safe and healthy and be able to ride out the disaster. So thanks a lot for listening today, guys. If you enjoyed the podcast, I really encourage you to jump onto our website, theoryofpets.com. Check that out. Also, you can leave a quick review of the podcast if you don't mind. The more people that listen and leave me reviews, the easier it is for me to get in touch with experts in the industry and reach out to them to ask for interviews to answer some of our questions. Speaking of that, if you have a question that I haven't answered on a previous podcast, it's just been driving you crazy, you can't find the answer you're looking for, or quite often in the pet industry, the answer that you find, there's very conflicting information out there, a lot of untruths out there, and you're just looking to figure something out, send me an email, jump on our website, theoryofpets.com, leave your information and your topic there, and I will be sure to address it. We will make sure to get that question answered for you. Thanks again for listening, guys. I will be back next week with another hot topic.